Welcome back to episode 9 of Ball Talk with Bun. Today I'm just going to dive into playoff basketball. It's my favorite time of the year. It's the best time of the year, period. And that's all I'm going to talk about today. I mean, what else is there to talk about, really? I'm going to dive into every series, what my prediction is for every first-round series. There's two play-in games left tomorrow, obviously, so I'm going to predict those and what I think those teams will do in their respective series. But the series I'm going to start off with, I'm going to start with Orlando and Cleveland. I'm really excited to see what Jamal Mosley and Paolo Banchero and Franz Wagner, a young team led by a young coach and led by, you know, two very young players in their early 20s. I'm excited. This series is very even. I think it's going to go 7, but it could go either way. I have Orlando winning for different reasons, but I also feel like Cleveland could win. Cleveland, in essence, is more experienced than Orlando. Pretty much every team in the bracket is more experienced than Orlando, outside of maybe Oklahoma City. But a guy like Paolo is a game changer. A guy like Donovan Mitchell, we've seen him in the playoffs before. He's a game changer. I'm excited for that series, though, because I think this series will be probably the most physical, and we'll probably see the most low-scoring games from this series compared to other series. And, you know, an old head like myself, or a semi-old head like myself, I love that. I'm excited for that. Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, those are two great rim protectors. Evan Mobley's a versatile defender. I'm excited to see his matchup against Paolo, who's a three-level scorer, 6'10", 6'11", 240, 250, can get to the rim, can shoot the three, can dribble, can make plays, great footwork, great out of the post. That's going to be a great matchup for Mobley and a great matchup for Banchero, and I'm excited to see that. The same thing for Franz Wagner. He also will see Evan Mobley. He'll see a Dean Wade maybe, and Isaac Okoro. Cleveland has a bunch of bodies that can go out there on guard, but the question for Cleveland is, can they go out there and produce enough offense? The question is for both teams, really. But really for Cleveland, they really have a hard time spreading the floor. Even with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland, there's still some glaring offensive struggles. And this will be very interesting to see for Cleveland and Donovan Mitchell's future. There's a lot of rumors about him leaving. Rumors about him getting traded. So we'll see. We'll see how this series goes. I think it's a pretty even match. I'm going to go and say Magic in seven. I feel like the Magic are slightly better, and I think Paolo Banchero will be the difference in this series. I think he's going to make two or three key plays that could give Orlando some stealing wins in this series, which will be huge down the road. But Donovan Mitchell is a great playoff performer. The Cleveland Cavaliers, they should be viewed as a better team. They should be favored in the series, so they should win, but I don't think it'll happen. I'm going to talk about another series, the Denver Nuggets series, Lakers series, which I think will be relatively quick. Nikola Jokic is unstoppable. There's no way around it. The Lakers, I mean, you can try to throw Anthony Davis at him. You can try to throw Rui Hachimura at him and put Anthony Davis at safety like you did last year, but that's not going to work. Trying to Davis one-on-one, it won't work. Double team, it won't work. It won't matter. Pretty much every team in this bracket is at a huge disadvantage because they don't have Nikola Jokic or someone that has a chance in stopping Nikola Jokic. So I like the Lakers. I just wish they would have been more serious in regular season and be a higher seed and not be in this position, because the Lakers, given the bracket that they have, they're in a tough position. I mean, they got to see Denver first. If they somehow squeaked out of this, they probably have to see Dallas or the Clippers next. So, you know, trolling in the regular season kind of bit them. So this is what they get. But the Lakers, in order for them to win, LeBron James will have to have a Herculean performance pretty much every game of the series. Anthony Davis is going to have to play out of his mind every game of the series, or else they won't have a chance. Because whether or not Jamal Murray's having an off-shooting night, Jokic, which is rare. If he's having off shooting night, Denver still has the better defenders. Denver still has a better bench. Denver still has a better coach. So LA's margin for error is really small. Is really small given that Denver has the ultimate matchup advantage. They have the ultimate mismatch in Jokic. So your margin for error is very small. I feel like the X factor in this series is D'Angelo Russell. He has to have a huge series too. He played literally terrible last year in Denver, against Denver in the playoffs. If D'Angelo Russell can make plays, if D'Angelo Russell can hit shots, hit timely shots, then this is a different series. He could be the series changer in this series because all the attention will be on LeBron. All the attention will be on AD. All the attention is going to be out on the two superstars. So as the third option, or in essence sometimes the fourth option, you're going to have to move the needle. You're going to have to make plays that people aren't expecting you to make. And given that he averaged 8 points last year and he shot like, I don't know, like 40% last year in a series, I mean, dude, we need you. LA needs you. So in order for LA to have a great chance to beat the Nuggets or to come close to beating the Nuggets, they need something consistently from D'Angelo Russell. And LeBron James has to play like a superstar. He can't take, you know, can't take games off. AD can't take games off. They have to be serious. Else they don't have a chance. Your margin of error against Jokic, given how your team is set up, it's a bad matchup. So your margin of error is very, very small. I have the Nuggets winning that series in 5 games. I think this will be a gentleman's sweep. It could go 6. It could go 6. But that would mean that D'Angelo Russell and LeBron and Anthony Davis are really hooping. So that's going to have to happen. All three of them are all hooping at once. That never happens. So that has to happen for them to extend this past 5. Because I don't see anyone in the West giving Jokic 2 losses. Maybe a Dallas. Maybe a Clippers. Maybe the Timberwolves. Maybe. Speaking of Timberwolves-Suns, this series is going to be great. I love this series. Everyone keeps posting a video of Anthony Edwards saying, yeah, they got KD, but we got Jaden McDaniels. And everyone keeps posting it, but there's a good flex in that because Jaden McDaniels is a great defender. And, you know, the past couple of years, KD has struggled in playoffs in certain games. In elimination games, in games on the road, Kevin Durant has struggled the past 2 to 3 years in the playoffs. So, yeah, they do got Jaden McDaniels. However, this series is going to be great, though. I'm excited for this because Karl-Anthony Towns is back. So, it'll be interesting how they use Towns, how they use Gobert. I also love this series because both teams are so different. You know, Minnesota starting 2 7-footers, and Phoenix, they're going to start Yusuf Nurkic, Kevin Durant, and then obviously Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, and Grayson Allen. You know, there's a huge size difference, and there's a huge play style difference. I feel like Minnesota, they obviously rely on their defense much more. And with Towns back now, I feel like this series might have to go in Minnesota's favor for me. I like Minnesota's defense. They're the best defensive team in the NBA, certainly the best defensive team in the West. Anthony Edwards is a rising superstar. I have the Wolves in 7, but this will be a very, 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 very close series. I think every game might be close. I think this will go 7. As for Phoenix, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, they have to move the needle. They will move the needle. I think Yusuf Nurkic will play a huge role in this series. Like I said, Phoenix, they don't have the size. They don't have the rebounding. They don't have the bench to compete with Minnesota. So Nurkic is going to have a huge series going up against not only Towns, but Rudy Gobert. He has to rebound the ball. He has to be a presence in the paint. Those 12 to 14, 15 points, those would be huge. Those would be huge. Especially when Devin Booker and Kevin Durant have to deal with multiple bodies that Chris Finch and the Wolves can throw at them. Nurkic has to have a huge series, as well as Bradley Beal. I think Bradley Beal in that last regular season game, I think he showed us a little glimpse of what he can do and a glimpse of what Phoenix can be in the playoffs, especially in this particular series, given that that was last game of the regular season. But overall, although I do love KD, he's having a special year. He's a special player. He's averaging 27 points on 52% shooting, 40% from three. He's 34, 35, 30. I don't know. He's old. Doesn't get talked about. Kevin Durant's very underrated for some reason. I love KD. I love Book. But I have to go with the Wolves. They're a better team. I like Chris Finch better. They have home court advantage, which I think is huge. Going to Minnesota rather than having home court advantage Phoenix, I think that's huge. Minnesota's home crowd is great if you have not watched them. So I'm going to go Wolves in seven. But that Wolves in seven, I'm not confident at all. I'm not confident. Kevin Durant's scary. Booker's scary. And Bradley Beal's a third option. Whether he's struggling or not, that's still a scary third option. So I'm not that confident. I will say, yeah, Wolves in seven. What's another series? I'm going to do... So the Pacers and the Bucks, I think this could be a quick exit for Milwaukee. Now here's why. Even with Giannis playing, the Bucks are average on defense. There's no identity on offense. Chris Middleton, since the injury he had, I believe in 2022, he has not been the same. Damian Lillard, this year he's not having a Damian Lillard type year. He struggled all regular season long. And with Giannis being out, confirmed, he's stamped out at least the first two games. He's out the first two games. I find it hard to pick Milwaukee in the series. Every game matters. Every game matters. And you're trying to put Giannis back after a weird injury when he literally just fell. They say it's calf injury, but I don't know. There could be something more serious. But the man fell while walking to the other side of the court. You're going to try and incorporate him back. Possibly down 0-2, possibly in this tied series, and you're going to try to go on the road to Indiana and trying to go beat the Pacers, who have had your number this regular season, at least offensively. So it's like it's kind of hard for me to pick the Bucks. I don't have a reason to pick the Bucks, even with Giannis there. Will he even be 100%? Even if he is 100%, will that be enough? Because the Bucks, they really have a hard time struggling defending. They can't guard the perimeter. And Brook Lopez and Giannis, given Giannis' dominance, they're not the same duo that they were, let's say, 2-3 years ago. Because Brook Lopez also is aging like Chris Middleton. And Damian Lillard, he's not as impactful as he was in years past because he's aging. So I'd probably say a Pacers in six. Given Giannis himself, if Giannis is truly back, if he's 100%, then I'll say a Bucks in seven. But that's, I don't know. It might be a Pacers in five or six. If he's missing the first two games, and if he's not right when he comes back for Indianapolis, when they go back to Indianapolis, it's going to be over in five or six. That'll be a quick series. And what a shame that would be for the Bucks after getting Damian Lillard. Boy, what a shame that'll be for Damian Lillard and the Bucks. So I feel like for this particular series, if the Bucks want to advance and try to have a chance to beat Boston, and try to have a chance to beat New York, try to have a chance to go to the finals, I think Damian Lillard has to be Damian Lillard in this series. If and when Giannis is back, Damian Lillard has to move the needle. Damian Lillard has to go get 40. Damian Lillard has to have those 35, 40-point nights. Not struggling, not barely hitting 50%. I'm talking about an efficient a super efficient 35, super efficient 40, 40 and 8, 40 and 6, 40 and 10 type of game. He has to have that type of series like he was having in Portland all those years when I was in high school, when we were watching him in high school. He has to have those type of years. He has to have those type of games. He has to go back into his old ways. You know? That's the only way Milwaukee has a chance. Because honestly, Indiana, Haliburton can play. Haliburton leads the league in assist. He can go and get 40 a night whenever he wants to, because in essence, he is a pass first guy. He is the truest point guard out of every point guard in the league. He's looking out there to facilitate, control the pace, and pass the ball. He brought in Pascal Siakam to guard a guy like Giannis, who isn't even playing. Pascal Siakam can also get 25 a night. We have a Miles Turner. And this Indiana team is perfectly set up to beat the Bucks. Miles Turner brings Lopez out of the paint, which opens up driving lanes for Haliburton, for Siakam, and which lets them be playmakers. I think this series really depends on how Indiana defends, how Milwaukee defends, but really Damian Lillard. If Damian Lillard is struggling, they have zero chance. They need Damian Lillard to hold it down while Giannis is hurt. Enough about the Bucks. I'm tired of the Bucks. They let me down. Doc Rivers let me down. I think it's confirmed. Yeah, the Knicks and the Sixers are playing. It's confirmed that they're playing. Embiid last night really did not look well. I mean, he made some key plays down the stretch. He made a great pass to Oubre. He had a big-time tip-in for an and-one. He had a couple of big threes in the fourth, but Embiid was not in the post. Now, granted, Miami did throw a lot of zone. They threw a lot of matchup zone, 2-3 zone, 3-2. They threw everything at him to try to stop him, neutralize him from posting up and getting to the mid-range area. And he is not 100%. But I was kind of bothered that, you know, he isn't 100%. And in essence, he's not going to be aggressive, because when he's not aggressive, Philly's hard to watch. Nick Batum's 20 points saved him. Buddy Hield hit some big-time threes and made some big-time plays with his hustle. So it's hard, because I don't know how to really assess them when Embiid's hobbling around. He has a huge knee brace on his leg. He won't post up. He didn't post up at all last night. I didn't see him working mid-range. I didn't see him get to the rim at all. So I'm kind of worried for Philly. You know, the amount of times Embiid kept, you know, hurtling over on his knees, trying to catch his breath, I was like, is he good? Is he okay? I know he hasn't played in a while. Is he out of shape? You know, there's just a lot of questions with Brad Embiid. Now, if Embiid is healthy and he's right and he's 100%, New York's in trouble. They really could be in trouble, because Julius Randle being out for the rest of the year, that put a dent in their chances, a huge dent, I think, in their chances. And a lot of people don't like Julius Randle, and I'm one of those people. I'm not a big Julius Randle guy, but that's a lot of production they lost. So Embiid's health is a huge piece in this series, just like it is in Kawhi's series with the Mavs, just like it is with Giannis' series against the Pacers. So guys like Tyrese Maxey, guys like Tobias Harris, who had a rough night last night, guys like Kelly Oubre, Kyle Lowry, they have to make plays. They have to defend hard. They have to scrap for every ball. That's their game. The game they won last night is how they're going to have to play against New York, because New York loves those type of games. Scrappy, physical, hustle, diving on the floor, diving on loose balls, grabbing rebounds. It's going to be that type of series. If Embiid's right, I'm going to go say I'm still going to have the Knicks, but I have to mix no matter what. But if Embiid's healthy, then it's going to affect the length of the series, obviously. So I'm going to say Knicks in six. Jalen Brunson, that's a first-team All-NBA player. The way he ended the year, I mean, if he had played like that all season long, if the Knicks were hot like that all season long, Brunson would probably be getting a lot of MVP love. He'd probably be getting a lot of MVP love, because he's really been on a tear lately. But Brunson in the playoffs in Dallas, great playoff performer. Now in New York last year, he had a great postseason. Didn't go the way he wanted, obviously. They lost in five. to Miami in the second round. But Brunson, those 10 or 11, I believe they played 10 or 11 games in the postseason. Those games, he moved the needle with not that much spacing. So Brunson's a great platformer. It's going to be hard for Philly to overcome that if Embiid's not 100%. If Embiid is not moving right, if he can't post up, if he can't get to the rim, if he can't get to the free throw line, if he can't get his shots up, if he's not having efficient nights, it's going to be a long series for Philadelphia, because dealing with Brunson and your best players banged up, he's hurt. I mean, there's no answer for Brunson. There's going to be no answer. Is Tyrese Maxey going to be an answer? Who, in which Tyrese, he's going to have to deal with a lot of defenders all series. Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, Miles McBride. I mean, yeah, he's going to have to deal with a bunch of defenders the whole series. So I hope Joel Embiid's okay. That's a reigning MVP. They need him, obviously. And that would be a great series if he's 100%. Because last night, even though they won, last night was rough. Last night was rough. They squeaked out of there, and Embiid did not look right at all. It was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. Mavs and the Clippers, I previewed this series on a couple of pods. I think last pod I did. I have the Mavs in seven. I think the Mavericks are the better team. I said this last episode. I think they're a better team. I think they have by far the best player in the series. I'm worried about Paul George and James Harden in the playoffs. Their track record, I mean, it follows them. I'm worried about Kawhi Leonard. Will he play? Will he not play? You know, his health, as I stated before, is very important in the series. Because if you have Luka out there, with Kyrie Irving, by the way, but if you have Luka and Kyrie Irving out there, you know, with no Kawhi, then it's going to be a rough series. For the likes of James Harden or Paul George or anybody. Because they need Kawhi. He's the best defender by far. He's one of the best defenders the league has ever seen. They need Kawhi. I think for the Clippers, though, I think you could argue they're the better team, just like I could argue the Mavs are. But the Clippers, like I said, they need Paul George and James Harden to have great series. Because Dallas has just as much firepower, as Clippers do. And I feel like with Lively back, who is healthy, with Lively now healthy, and Daniel Gafford, who literally went on a 34-33 streak of not missing a shot. Like, I don't think he missed a shot within 34 tries. With them two back, and Luka's playing the way he has. And playoff Luka has arrived. Playoff Kyrie has arrived. This is going to be a long series if Kawhi's not there. You need Kawhi. Zubac, Theis, Plumlee, I don't think they're going to hold up against Luka in a Gafford pick and roll or Luka in a Lively pick and roll. If Tyronn Lue goes out there and has Zubac in drop coverage, I think that's going to be a long series. If he's in drop coverage or if he's switching on to Luka after a pick and roll, it's going to be a very, very, very long series. He has no chance. So I wonder what the Clippers are going to do if and when Dallas wants to go big and they have Lively out there and Gafford out there. And if Zubac is getting exposed, are you going to bring in PJ Tucker? Are you going to bring in Theis? Are you going to bring in Plumlee? I have a hard time picking against the Mavericks in this series because they just have a lot of matchup problems against the Clippers. I think they give Clippers a lot of matchup problems. And, you know, obviously the Clippers can present that same problem too. But the Mavs are younger. The Mavs are deeper. They have better chemistry, I think. And I think they're just a better team. And they have a player who's on an all-time tear right now. And in the playoffs, I mean, look at Luka's playoff numbers. They speak for themselves. Playoff Luka's a different animal. I'm excited for all these series. Boston and obviously Oklahoma City, they don't know who they're playing yet. The Bulls and the Heat play for the 8 seed. The Kings and the Pelicans play for the 8 seed. Zion's out. Jimmy Butler's out. Terry Rozier's probably going to be out. A lot of guys are out. So those, I feel like those these last couple playing games are going to suck. Which, I mean, sucks because, I mean, the stars are out. There's two stars out. And then a great, another good, really good player, not a star, a really good player in Rozier's out. But I guess I'll go with the Kings. Now the Kings OKC series, if the Kings and the Thunder do match up, I think De'Aaron Fox and Shea, that matchup, I think that would be a great series. The Kings are not as good as the Thunder, obviously. But the Kings, they can keep up with the Thunder. I think they can make a really, really, really good series with the Thunder because they can score. Sabonis, I think he's a huge, huge, huge matchup problem against Oklahoma City, given how much size he has over Oklahoma City. He can really dominate Shet. But if Shet can bring him out the paint, I think that changes series too. I would probably go Oklahoma City in six in that particular series. Now, if they were to play the Pelicans, I don't know how that series would go for the Pelicans. They would probably get swept, given that Zion is not playing. But the Pelicans, they're a tough team. They can probably win tomorrow night against the Kings. Even without Zion, they're a tough team. They have great defenders. They just have to be efficient on offense. It's hard to win playoff games without a point guard. The Pelicans don't have one point guard. Jose Alvarado is not a point guard. CJ McCollum's not a point guard. Brandon Ingram's not a point guard. So on and so forth. So, it would be tough for them. I think they would get swept by Zion if they do win tonight and they, I mean, tomorrow night and they play the Kings. I mean, the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then for the East, the Hawks, that Hawks game was rough. The Hawks, I don't want to talk about them, but they need to figure out what they're going to do with Trae Young, Dejounte Murray. But, the Bulls and the Heat, without Jimmy, I mean, the Heat could probably still win. I mean, Eric Spoelstra, he can coach circles around Billy Donovan, so that'd be a tough one-game scenario for the Bulls, even with Jimmy out. But I don't know. I just find it hard to pick any team in that game. I'd probably go with the Heat, given that they're at home, and I still think they have a lot of pride, they have a lot of grit, and they have a lot of vets in the locker room that don't want to lose and miss the playoffs. But if the Heat find themselves a matchup with the Celtics without Jimmy, they're getting swept. If the Bulls win, they're getting swept. Even if Jimmy's back, he's not going to be 100%. The Celtics will sweep them. The Celtics will sweep the Bulls. So, ain't nothing much to talk about the Celtics series against the Bulls or the Heat, especially if the Heat don't have Jimmy. But, I mean, the Celtics, they should blow everyone out in the East. If we're being honest, they really should sweep through the East. They shouldn't lose one game. They're that much better than every other team. So, I don't know what the Heat could do in the series against Boston without Jimmy. I don't know what the Bulls could do, period, against the Celtics in the series. But I guess it would be an interesting game. Some of these playing games, it's kind of weird because the game last night in particular, the Atlanta and Chicago game, you know, the playing game has been nice. People are having fun with it, I guess. But some of these teams just don't belong. Like, Chicago is going to get destroyed. Atlanta would have gotten destroyed against Boston. So it's just, they need to do something about the playing. That's all I'm going to say about it. But that's all I have for Ball Talk with Bun. And next week, The series start this weekend. The play-in is tomorrow night. But next week, we're going to dive into whatever happens this weekend. I'm very excited. I'm so excited. So excited. I can't stop thinking about it every day I think about it. But I'm very excited. And to wrap it up, I got the Mavs in 7. I got the Nuggets in 5. I have OKC in 6 over the Kings, OKC in a sweep over the Pelicans. I have the Wolves in 7. And then for the East, I have the Magic in 7. I have the Knicks in 6 against the 76ers. I have the Celtics in sweep against whoever. And then I have the Pacers in six against the Bucks.